ain't standing. I'm trying to find the will of God. I come within a hair of not even preaching, to be honest with you. I've got warmed overs from God's oven today. Not warm loaves, but warmed overs from God's oven for you this morning. And it has been a while, though. Soon be, I think, maybe 6 years, 5 years ago since I preached it. I'm going to try to preach it this morning. Lord being my helper, I hope I can. I'm going to try to anyway. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Some of you that are here have never heard it anyway. Some of you have. And those of you that have, you don't remember it. And I'll guarantee you don't remember it. I didn't remember it myself, and I preached it. I know if I preached it and didn't remember it, you don't either. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. I wonder if I ask how many of you would remember how many songs Solomon wrote. He wrote 1,005 songs and 3,000 proverbs. What the Word of God says. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I almost preached on that. There's eight me's in these eight chapters. Octaves in a song or something of that nature. And there's eight of those me's. Let me. And seven others. But let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I'm black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I'm black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyards have I not kept. Tell me, O thou, there's another one of them me's, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now may the Lord add his blessings to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the songs that have cheered my heart this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and the Word of God, reminding me again of my brand new estate in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that old things have passed away and all things have been made new. I want to thank you for life and that more abundantly. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for a place, Lord, where the roses never fade, where the flowers will never fade, but they're always in bloom. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be together this morning, the house of God. Thank you for thy word. I ask you this morning, Lord, to make this as fresh to my heart as it was the day I preached it, that it might be made a blessing to the people. I want to try to encourage them today. I pray you'll help me to do that. May the power of Christ rest upon me, I pray. Provide the liberty and the unction that's needed today to turn sinners from the gates of hell. And Lord, to revive and bless thy people and strengthen their faith in thee in these last days that we're living in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning for a little while to verse number 7 of the text I read. And the first part of that, where the Bible says, tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. And where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. From this verse, I find a bride who is in search of her bridegroom. I find one who is looking for the Lord. Tell me where you feed and tell me where you are at, basically, is what this verse of Scripture is saying. And I want to take that thought for just a little while this morning. By the way, she's looking for something in Him that will satisfy her soul. And I want to take this passage of Scripture and preach for a little while on this thought this morning, seeking satisfaction in places or in the wrong place. Trying to find something that satisfies me, but I'm looking in the wrong place.
Amen.
May I say by way of introduction that everyone, I believe, that is alive is looking for something to satisfy them. The lost man is always in search of something that will satisfy his flesh. But he'll never find that. The saved man, by the way, is always looking for satisfaction in his Christ. And I want to tell you, when I found Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say when he found me, I found something that has satisfied my life. My search ended at the cross. I'd looked all of my life trying to find something that brought joy, that brought contentment, that brought peace of mind, that brought satisfaction. But every time I thought I had a grip on something, it seemed to elude me, and I found myself faltering and failing again, and found myself empty and without that satisfaction of life that I really felt like in my heart that ought to have. And may I say before I go any further that that longing and that desire, ladies and gentlemen, has been put there by Almighty God. And it is a desire for you and I to have Him. That is our desire. That is that empty, gnawing place in a person's life when they live in their life and yet they look and they seek and yet they're never satisfied in anything that they do. I'll tell you why. It's because there is an empty spot there that only Christ can fill, and Christ is not at home. We might as well face that. If we are discouraged and dull and life is dead to us, it is because Christ is not at home. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, when He fills up your heart, ladies and gentlemen, with the love, joy, and peace of God, there is a satisfaction in there that the world knows nothing about. That's right. And you can look until you're blue in the face out yonder in the world, and you will die a very disheartened, discouraged individual, having never found what you saw or what you thought you ought to have in this world. If you'll read about Moses in the book of Hebrews, Moses wasn't interested in the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have had those pleasures, but he chose the reproaches of Christ's greater riches, ladies and gentlemen, than anything that this world has got to offer. I'm going to tell you, you can have the world, but give me Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll ever get a hold of Jesus, you'll find all that you need. We sang that little song, Christ is all I need, Christ is all I need. Now I guarantee you on the authority of the Word of God, He is all you'll need.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I want riches. You've got them in Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, I want real happiness. You've got it in Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, I want prosperity. You've got it in Him. I'm telling you, He came to fulfill your life and fulfill your dream and to bless you with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you cannot find that anywhere in the world. Now, there are many that are driven by ambition, and they look for success in business. They think, if I can just have a successful business, that crowd is chasing, they're chasing the elusive dream. They're chasing a dream that'll never come to reality. I'm going to tell you, if you want to live a dream this morning, ladies and gentlemen, have a dream like Joseph and live it in reality in your search of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph had two dreams, and in those dreams, God laid out his entire life for him. Now, I'll tell you, no matter where he was at,
whether it was in the pit or whether it was in the prison house or in Pharaoh's house, Joseph learned to live for the glory of God and found the joy of the Lord in his soul. And found satisfaction. He didn't have to have much to be satisfied. By the way, little is much when God's in it. I'm going to preach on that. I wanted to preach out of 1 Kings 17. Now, I'm not going to tell you on what thought. It's in there. It's in there, buddy, in a dandy too. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about a real good one. And look here, we're still looking for a joy and satisfaction in big things, and we're stumbling over the real joy of life that is found in the small things and the little things of this life. Amen. Come on and help me now. Men will spend long hours and work hard only to find a hollow spot at the top of the ladder. They'll try to climb the business ladder to success and wind up with nothing. They'll try to play Wall Street, the stocks and the bonds, and they'll wind up with nothing. Read a story not long ago of a man in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was playing the get-rich-quick scheme in stocks. And in one day, he lost something like $100,000, went into a business and shot several people and turned a gun on himself and killed himself. You know why? Because that which he sought satisfaction in, ladies and gentlemen, he finally realized that it was empty and hollow and there was no satisfaction there. And he lost everything he had. I'm glad this morning I got Jesus and I can't lose him. And he ain't going to lose me. And hallelujah to God. And whenever I go to him, he's there, he's real, and he's full, and I have found the joy of the Lord in him. Amen. Our problem is we don't want to let the joy of the Lord fill our soul. Amen. There's people that try to find satisfaction through great feats of daring. I read of a parachutist, a woman that was 60 years old, and tried to get her kicks out of parachute jumping. That's right. I mean, that was her. She said, I'm satisfied in jumping. You know what? She went up for a final jump. And guess what? It was her final jump. And by the way, her last jump left her kind of flat. You'll catch that one after a while. That is right. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to be satisfied in that mess, ladies and gentlemen. It's like the proverbial athlete that wants to make one more slam dunk. It's like the guy that wants to hit one more home run. Old Mark McGuire hit 70 and he thought, buddy, I've hit the top. But next year, he wanted to hit 71. And when he didn't hit 71, his dream that he had followed was Christ, ladies and gentlemen. And he found there was no satisfaction in it at all. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. People try to find fulfillment in athletics. And they come, they find that it's an empty dream. But I believe the most probably disillusioned group of all are those who seek satisfaction in some sin that will ultimately destroy their mind and their body and wind up their soul in hell. Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised at people that think they're satisfied taking meth. I want to say this to our young people in here. Stay away from dope. I'm not just talking about meth and crack. I'm talking about cigarettes and the marijuana and the junk that goes along with it. Stay away from it. Amen. If I wasn't in a mixed crowd, I would tell you why young men are wrapped up in meth, ladies and gentlemen. There is an illusion to meth that men are chasing, but 6 months after the chase, it leaves them flat. Now, I won't tell you in the mixed congregation what it is. You use your imagination. But I'm telling you, it's wild. I read about it in the Messenger newspaper. And they were going to try to get their kicks in drugs. Try to find satisfaction, but I'm telling you, one hit leads to another hit. And one drink leads to another drink. And one toke leads to another toke. And one sin leads to another sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. You better believe what I'm telling you. We better turn our eyes and our hearts upon Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus told that Samaritan woman in John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst. Whoever drinketh the water that I give them shall never thirst. But he said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but there's those that try to find satisfaction in sex, sin, wild living, high living, and I'm telling you, it is not there, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you older people know that, but some of our younger people in here today have never lived that life and don't know what I'm talking about. Leave you with a bad head and a hangover and without a friend. I'll guarantee you. Amen. I'm going to tell you the sin of the age. And I know where we're at this morning, but it's sex. That's why the world is filled up. And I feel mean. Almost said it, Brother Steve, wherever you went. That is why the world is filled up with adulterers and divorce courts. And sodomites, they're looking for a thrill that will leave them empty. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody say amen or oh me. But God, I'm telling you, I'm glad I found Jesus when I knelt at the cross. And my dream world stopped there. And I began to dream about Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening? Now look here. That bride in these first 7 verses is looking for something that satisfies her. She said in verse number 2, kiss me. She wants satisfaction. Kiss me. And I believe the word, the term, the way it's used there is a kiss of reconciliation. Any of you men in here ever made your wife mad? Don't lie and say no. Don't lie to Brother Hall now. Come on now. You ever have a little quarrel, a little lover spat?
Hello.
And finally you look at one another and say, why don't we just kiss and make up? Well, I'm telling you what that little bride is saying to Jesus here is kiss me and let's make up. She saw herself as a sinner and would never find satisfaction without being reconciled unto Christ, ladies and gentlemen, by the blood of the cross. And so literally she's saying, kiss me and let's reconcile this thing.
Amen.
She wants reconciliation. She wants the strife to cease. She wants the battles to be over. Ever been there? God ever bring you under old-timey conviction? You felt like you was God's enemy and that God hated you, and He brought you to a place where you got so tired of that, you turned to Him with a repentant heart and said, catch me with a kiss of reconciliation.
Amen.
Then she's... And I'm going to tell you, a sinner will never be satisfied without being reconciled to God. See, we've forgotten who God is. All-powerful. He is omniscient. He's everywhere at all times. He's here this morning. He's over in Germany this morning. He's with that preacher down in the Amazon jungle this morning. He's with that little church in Alaska today. He's with that individual that may be isolated somewhere in a prison cell that got saved. He is everywhere at all times, ladies and gentlemen. Omnipresent. He's omniscient. He knows what you're thinking right now, what I'm thinking right now. He knows what everybody in the world is thinking. I'm telling you, we got a great God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now notice what she says in verse number 4. It's not no longer kiss me, it's draw me. Then we will run after thee. That is, she wants, the word draw me there is talking about fellowship. She's already been reconciled now. She's looking for fellowship. And I want to say to you this morning, there is no real joy and satisfaction until you learn the fellowship with Christ. I'll say this to you, bless your heart. I put my face against that wall in there on Friday evening, up of that door that goes from the hallway in there, and God Almighty fellowshiped with me there for about 20 minutes, and I had more joy in those 20 minutes than most men will have in a lifetime. Amen. Just fellowshipping with God. Somebody said, how can you do that? Our fellowship is with the inner man. You have got to learn to worship God and let your spirit out to God. Most Baptists don't know anything at all about worship. I started to preach on odors of worship this morning. Praise God, I'm telling you. When you come in contact with God, with your inner man, you will know it. Was you in there, Brother Wayne? Was I having a good time? Was I having a good time, Brother Steve? I'm telling you, it just made difference. It's just different. I knew that God had touched me. Have you ever been touched by Him? I'm talking about in your soul. Have you ever been touched in your soul that caused the joy bells of heaven to ring and the bubbles to get the bubbling, and you know that you'll never be satisfied with anything else in life but being touched by God? Has He ever touched your heart? What I'm trying to say. And caused things to get bubbling around in there. I'd rather spend 30 seconds with Him and be touched by Him than to spend 10,000 years out in the world. You know everything's all right. You know the Father's house is still a house of love and mercy. Oh, yeah, and you know He's at home. I'm telling you, a lot of Baptists don't know He's home, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, if He'll ever touch your heart, you'll find out He's at home. He's living there. He's dwelling there. Amen. Your soul is God's dwelling place this morning. God wants to dwell in you and live in you and bless you and help you and love you and satisfy your life for you. Amen. And then she says, in our text verse, tell me. Kiss me. Draw me. Tell me. And she says, tell me where you're at. She's like those daughters of Jerusalem, I believe in chapter 6. Chapter 5, they ask the bride, this same little girl, what is your beloved more than another? And she described him. And after she had described him, those same daughters of Jerusalem said, where is your beloved? No longer what is he, where's he at? I'm going to tell you, as old Bob Lincoln used to say, if God ever let you just peep over the hill one time, God would ever let you peep over the hill one time and catch one glimpse of Him high and lifted up like Isaiah saw Him in the temple. I'll tell you, it would turn your heart to Him and fill you with a joy and satisfaction, ladies and gentlemen, that you wouldn't be satisfied in anything else till you found Him again. You ever found Him once and He departs, you'll never be satisfied till you find Him again. If you're contented with Him being gone, you're lost. If you're satisfied with no presence of Christ, you're lost. I don't care who you are, you're lost. She found Him, her chief desire, her greatest love. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He took me to His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. Hallelujah. Down here, ever get real sick of love? I walked in that house. On Friday, I called Miss Hall, and I said, have you had your cappuccino yet? She said, not yet. I said, can you wait till I get there? She said, I'll be waiting. She had the cup on the counter. I walked in the door. I said, how you doing? She said, fine now. That's the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. Lovers, hey, when you found satisfaction in a person, you'll want to be with them. She satisfies everything, every need I have. I want to be with her. Christ satisfies me spiritually. I want to be around Him and I want Him around me. Oh yes, and I'll never be satisfied with anything less. Now look here, it's talking about being satisfied with food here. Tell me, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest a flock to rest at noon. She's talking about food. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She said, I'm satisfied. The psalmist said, I'm satisfied in the Lord, I shall not want. There's not another thing that I want. What do you want today? Somebody said, I want money, Lord. I want the Lord. I want worldly possessions and riches. I want the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. There's a threefold work of the shepherd. As a good shepherd, John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd, and I giveth my life for the sheep. He's the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. He's a good shepherd, great shepherd, rather, that rewards us. Now the God of peace, that brought again the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Now I want to say this, and I'll be done, four things and I'm done. How He satisfies us. Number one, He seeks His sheep. Thanks, but can you get a hold of that? That God sought you, that Christ sought you. Talks about in Luke 15 that a man that had 199 sheep and he left the 99 to go after the one. He said he sought him and he refused to give up until he found him. And I'm sure that that long search carried him through the hours of darkness and maybe days of winter cold months or through the rain. And it wasn't all sunshine, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say in His trek to where you live to save you by the grace of God, in His search for His lost sheep, our Lord went through some very troublesome times to find you because of His love for you.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, when He laid me on His shoulder, I was satisfied. Don't thank me hard of this. He is El Shaddai, the all-breasted one. Amen. Can you get a hold of this now? The Bible says about Isaac, when he married, was it Rebecca? Said that he more or less said he was comforted after his mother's death. I'm going to tell you, y'all, come on in the house. Young men laid in the bosom of their mother. And what he is saying there is that Isaac learned to lay in the breast of his bride. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if he'll ever find you and lay his head in your breast and your head on him, I'll guarantee you there'll be a satisfied moment in your life like you have never had before. Amen. Now, I know some of you super spiritual fellas think you've arrived. You don't need this. But you're farther away from God than most people in here. Come on in the house. When you think you've done been there, you're telling me you ain't been there. Well, I don't need it, Brother Hall. I'm there. It tells me you never have been there. I've been there and went back. I want all of Him that I can have. What do you think being filled with the Holy Ghost is? But having all of Him, filled with all of Him. Amen. And you giving Him your all, and you will never be satisfied until you give Him your all and bless your tight, wide hearts. That means you're billfold. Amen. Yes, you're billfold. Amen. I tell you, Baptist tighter than a bark on a hickory nut tree. I won't charge you nothing for that. When He got me, He got my billfold. My bank account. Everything that I had's His. If I die tomorrow broke and busted, I'll have the reward of Lazarus. Bless God, the angels will carry me into His bosom. And His bosom is all right place for Brother Hall. I don't need riches where I'm going. Bless God, the streets are paved with gold up there. Amen. The walls of jasper and the gates are of pearl. What have I got need of money? Bless God. I'll have no need of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Saw Dr. Russell Rice, an alumni. I said, Dr. Rice? He said, how you doing, Brother Gary? I said, good. I said, you still using your famous term? He said, what do you mean? Honolulu, Honolulu, Hawaii? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I'm still using it. He used to say that, said hallelujah, and say Honolulu. Honolulu, Hawaii. Still using it. I can say hallelujah today. Yeah. Praise God, I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Praise God. Old Brother Mark Barnett back there builds houses down here. And Brother Robert builds houses. And Brother Steve builds houses. But praise God, I'm going to a place where there's a mansion that's built without hands of man. Amen. Amen. I don't need money. I've got Him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, ladies and gentlemen. It's all His. The world is His. The heaven of heavens is His. Amen. If I've got Him, I've got wealth. I'm telling you, we're missing the boat this morning. We're trying to hang on to our money, thinking money will satisfy. If we'll get Him, we'll have all the money we need. Amen. Hallelujah. He seeks His sheep. I'm going to say number two. He has an exquisite knowledge of His sheep. He knows you. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't follow me? That's what the little bride is saying. Where do you feed? Tell me where do you feed? Tell me where your tent's at. Where are you living? Where's your dwelling place? I want to follow you. I've heard your voice. I want to go where you're at. Woo! Why would a man want to spend one more night with the frogs? Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got out of frog land. Amen. Got away from Pharaoh. Ain't that right, Nabal? Inside joke, folks. I ain't got any desire to live down there with lice.
Right.
Flies.
Come on.
Locusts, frogs, rivers turned into blood. See, that's all a type of the world, ladies and gentlemen, with the curse on it. And we want to drink the waters of the world and ain't got enough sense to know they're all mixed with blood. And there's pestilence out there. There's torments out there. And if you'll ever realize that out in the world there's nothing but trouble and heartache, I'll guarantee you, and nothing that satisfies.
Amen.
Make your trek to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He knows you. He is endued with infinite wisdom and prudence to order His sheep aright. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know why? They know He's got better judgment than they got. I'm telling you, I'm like Jumbo. There's a fellow that came from one of the European countries, Bulgaria or some Germany. And when my daddy was a young man, before I come into this world, and they all worked at the little old cannon factory there at home. And they put up tomatoes and hominy and stuff like that. The little factory's gone now. They broke for lunch one day, and they sat down with their lunch buckets and were sitting there eating lunch. And Jumbo, in his broken English, talked to my daddy and said, Truman, when I come from the old country, I be dumb like the cow. Daddy said, Jumbo, I hate to tell you this. I've not seen a great deal of progress. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I'm worse than Jumbo, and so are you spiritually.
Amen.
We're dumb like the cow, ladies and gentlemen. We're sheep, and I'll tell you, sheep will starve to death unless they follow Him. And He is endued with spiritual infinite wisdom to lead you and I right into the right place.
Amen.
He leadeth me beside still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness' sake. Are you following Him? That's the question this morning. Come on in the house now. He has an almighty arm to protect and defend you from your enemies. David said, there's a lion and a bear come out against the sheep and said, I grabbed both the egg suckers by the beard and took care of business. Amen. That ought to tell you men about beards. Lion and a bear, caught the lion by his beard. I'd be careful with a beard. Get your head cut off. Amen. You think God don't know how to protect you? You better believe He does. He can put a hedge about us. He has got a hedge about us.
Amen.
And only by permission from God can the devil cross that line of demarcation, ladies and gentlemen. It is a barrier, a wall that the devil has no permission. My spouse is a garden enclosed. Well, shut up! Praise God, I'm glad that I'm shut up with a well today. I've got a hedge about me and I'm drinking from a well on the inside and that well is the Holy Ghost. Praise God, it's living water. Where's that wall, Brother Steve? I'm ready to run my head through it. I asked these men last night if they'd make me an artificial wall. Let me run my head through that egg sucker one of these days. And they better not put anything hard behind it either. Praise God, we're protected. One of my lifelong verse of Scripture. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's a sun and a shield. Our protection. And say He's furnished with large supplies of grace for us. He's got all the grace you need. He bears an inexpressible love unto His sheep. You know how much God loves you this morning?
Amen.
I wish we did.
Amen.
Just know how much God loves us. To understand the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the love of God. Woo!
Come on.
It's beyond my mind. The love of Christ constraineth us. Paul said, or he said to this effect, we know that if one was dead, all were dead. And if one died for the dead, he died for all the dead. And all were dead, and you were dead. Dead! Dead, but love is strong as death. Now I'm telling you, love conquered death on the cross. The love overcome death. Christ hung on the cross, death moved up in His face and said, time for me to move in. Jesus said, you don't understand. My love just as strong as you are. Beat it, buckwheat. That's it. That's in rogue language we can all understand. Get lost. I want you to get a hold of this. Every bee but a honeybee, when it stings its victim, it flies off. But a honeybee stings its victim, it leaves its stinger in the victim. Jesus said this, Paul said this to Hannah, oh death, where is thy sting? I'm going to tell you, death jumped up on the cross that day and said, I got him now! And like a little silly honeybee, rammed that sting of death into Christ and like an ignorant fool, flew off and died. Death is dead! Death is dead, ladies and gentlemen! Death is dead. We are alive in Christ and alive forevermore. Death is dead. What about that? Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. He not only seeks the sheep and has an exquisite knowledge of His sheep, but He restores them. And they have wandered and strayed from the fold. He said in the Psalm 23, restoreth my soul. Woo! When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. It's dark down in this dark mine. Oh, yes, but I'm telling you, it's there in the valleys of despondency and despair that God restores our soul. when we've gone the last mile of the way and can't seem to go another mile, and we're craving something that satisfies, I'm telling you, just in time. Woo! He wasn't 4 days late, ladies and gentlemen. He was right on time. Hallelujah to God. Right on time that day. And we think that he's done running late. He'll be there. Always there. Always on time. Keep your feet in the fire. And your face toward glory. And your heart on Christ. And be faithful in the house of God. And I'll tell you, God will satisfy you. But with joy unspeakable and full of glory, he'll run the honey bucket over in your heart and life for you. Anybody in here need to be happy this morning? Would you like to be happy? Can be. You can be. We need a house full of medicine men and medicine women. He also watches over his sheep in the night season. When Jesus was born, where were the shepherds at that visited him? The Bible said they were watching their sheep by night.
Come on.
Oh, preacher, it's awful dark where I'm at. He's watching you. The sun's not shining. Oh, yes, it is. You just can't see it. I got on that airplane in Spokane, Washington, and hit them clouds. I thought, Lord, this is the end of the line. Thought I'd never see the sun shine again. But I'm telling you, in a few moments when we broke through that cloud cover, son, I'm telling you, I realized the sun was still a-shining. Folks down on earth couldn't see it, but I got up a little in the altitude. Now I'm going to tell you, if you get up in the altitude a little bit, you can find the sun. And like an eagle! You can take to the sky and set your eyes dead into the sun and it never blur or blind you in your eyes. Son, we need eagle Christians. You realize that an eagle can fly directly into the sun with his eyes wide open and never blind him.
Amen.
We'll get our eyes on the S-O-N. Get up above the stinking clouds. A gloomy day where I'm living, preacher, but it won't last. It'll soon end. Woo!
Yeah.
Old Brother Brown looked as bad as I've ever seen him look in this camp meeting. He told me, he said, preacher, said when I left Goodwater, that I kissed Helen, said if I never see you again, called Gary Hall and told him he better preach or I'm going to raise from the dead and beat the fire out of him. He told them preachers over there, said, when I die, Brother Hall's preaching, said, I'm telling all of you, I want you there. And said, if you sit there like a bunch of deadbeats, bless God, I'll hate you the rest of your life. Get up and act like you're alive in God. There is a man that has lost his son. He's lost his health. He's never had money, but he's one of the most joyful Christians I've ever seen in all my life. Because he knows the love of God, and God has satisfied him. Amen. That's right. He watches over his sheep the night. He binds the brokenhearted, heals the sick and wounded, and strengthens the weak. And then finally, and I'm done, he feeds his sheep. He said there, where thou feedest? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon? Where are you feeding that? Feeds his sheep. He said, I'm the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
Woo!
He feeds us with the Word of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
He feeds us with new discoveries of his love and grace. That in Song of Solomon said he brings us to his banqueting house and his banner over us is love. Hallelujah. How does he feed us? By the ministers of God. When old Peter had finally dined, and Jesus said, come with me, Peter, I want to talk to you a minute about a little something. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, well, yes, Lord. He said, feed my lamb. How many of you come this morning hungry? If you never get fed, it may be because you don't pull up to the table. Pull up to the table, get your silverware out, your spiritual silverware, and dine. I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen any of you in here sit down back there at a table that you got up wanting. I've seen some of you get up wishing that you hadn't have wanted, but never got up wanting. And I'll be quite honest, I fall right in that bowl. I like to eat. But I like to eat spiritual food too.
Yeah.
Praise God, I like preaching. I sat over there all day long Thursday waiting to preach, knowing I was going to preach, and he hadn't said a thing, but I knew I was going to. Waited till the very last person. It's a Wednesday night too, and Thursday night, very last person to preach. But I, you know, while I sat there, I said, give me something, Lord. I want a bite of food. I got to have some nourishment, Lord. I want to leave here satisfied. And I'm telling you, Brother Brown, I don't even remember what it was. He made one little old statement, and it totally satisfied me. I could have left right then and come home and said, I got what I went there for, and it didn't take 30 seconds to get it. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus feeds with big spoons and forks. And it don't take big bites. That Syrophoenician woman said, I like just a crumb, Lord. I can just have that little crumb right there.
Yeah.
It's satisfied. Just a little crumb. There's a lad here. He's got, what, 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. What are they to so many? The Lord said, you let me worry about that.
Amen.
Little as much when God gets that.
Amen.
One little morsel. God will satisfy you. You satisfy this morning? I mean, be honest with yourself. Can I be honest with you? I'm not fully satisfied. I'm satisfied with Christ, but I'm not fully satisfied. I'm going to tell you what. I will not be satisfied until this church is in a revival spirit. I will not. I'm satisfied with Him. But I will not be satisfied until this church is in a revival spirit. And you know what? Listen carefully. He always satisfies, so I know it's coming. If you can get a hold of that. That little woman there wanted to be satisfied. She hadn't got to those tents yet, but she said, where are you feeding at? Where's your tent? Where you rest your flock at noon? I'll guarantee you, when she got there, she found rest. And she found satisfaction. Let's stand together. I've really enjoyed preaching to you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful today and thankful for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings on us, for the riches of your grace, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege of preaching this morning. Lord, we've come looking, seeking Thee, find satisfaction for our heart and soul. And I pray, oh God, that you will meet the needs, longings, and desires of every person in this building. In Jesus' name. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother George? 167? That Bible to 167, please. This is I Am Without One, please. If you've never been satisfied, maybe it's because you've never been saved. He satisfies his sheep. He meets the longings of their heart. Really search your heart this morning. Ask yourself. Say to yourself, Lord, search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's the only way you'll ever be satisfied. I could have preached 1,000 different ways more to be open and honest with Him. If you try to hide something from Him, you'll never be satisfied. If you try to run from Him, you can't run from Him. You ascend into heaven, He's there. If you make your bed in hell, He said, I'm there also. You can't run from God. And then ask yourself, as a Christian, have I got all that I need spiritually? Do I have all that I need biblically speaking? If you're satisfied, I'm going to tell you something, it brings real happiness. When people are unsatisfied, they're not happy. We're going to sing a verse that's just as I am. God's spoken to your heart. You come right today. Either to be saved or find satisfaction. Let's sing right out.